Welcome back to the programme. I'm joined in our little studio here, heated by a log stove, it has to be said, at the craft shop in Glendone, by John Hina, who's a master weaver and I suppose one of the leading lights in the weaving community. Thank you so much for chatting to us, John. How are you keeping?
Not too bad, Greg. And yourself?
I'm doing good. You know, it's kind of funny talking to Orla there about her sort of approach and sustainability and all that kind of stuff. And yet here we are. You've been working and your family have been working with one of the most sustainable materials there is, isn't there? I mean, this it comes from here. It's woven here. It's made here. The garments are made here. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, a few years ago, Highland Radio actually played a big part in this success story here. Because I was working with McGee's at home and had the radio above my head in the loom all the time. And they were doing an article on his own. So like, a phone number came up on me and I didn't have any biro written down. So I knew Anne from years ago in the craft shop. So I rang Anne to see if he had the number. So she told me in the conversation that she was after getting a loom. And she wondered how could it be put this loom be put together. So I told her we might have a go at it, so her and Pat called up to hers on a Sunday to take a look at my loom. I came back up here the following weekend, and we decided we'd have a go at it. So the weekend after, we came up, and the second day, myself and Pat had the loom up and running. Anne kept us well fed and well watered, looked after us. And you can still see when the loom going the second evening, Anne came in the door, and she just, a wee grin on her face, just like a child opening the Christmas present on Christmas Day, you know. And from that on, it's been a success story here all the time.
Brilliant. A loom, it looks like organised chaos, right? It looks like it shouldn't work. You see everything differently to I do, right? But it's astonishing what it's doing and how, when you're operating, what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Anne started learning to weave up here and I came up and spent a few weekends with her and it's amazing how quick she picked it up. And we met another woman up here as well, Claire Harkin, and she had a big knowledge in textiles, and she got a loom as well. So it was great to see the weaving back up and going up here in his own like. And as my motto was, seeing is believing. So we can come here, see Anne weaving on the loom, go in, see her doing the dressmaking, everything's made here. So it's just brilliant to see that.
I mean, you really are right sort of in the heart of the heritage and history, at least over the last century or so, of weavers. Your uncle lived in Carrigart. Frank Hina, just for anyone listening in that area, he worked with McNutt's, who were still, of course, very active in this space. Your dad and then you worked for McGee's. So this was your childhood, wasn't it? Your uncle, your dad.
Yeah, well, I actually started in 1970 and I worked in a factory in Ardra where there were 36 hand loom weavers. We had hand loom weaving at him in Kilcare, then Columkill, Ardra, Dunluce, Ballyliffin, Derrybeg. But through the years, it's just fell off. The power looms took over big time and with people emigrating and people passing on. A few years back, we were down to single numbers, actually, in our draw alone. So Anne played a big part in that as well here, because the ETB decided to run courses. And Anne, she told me several times, why don't you have a go at it? And eventually, I give in to her. I says, well, try it.
I get the feeling Anne kind of gets what she wants. Would that be fair to say, in one way or other? She's sitting very close to there, so be careful.
So anyway, the ETB started up and we spent 4 years in Kilcare, and at the minute we're based in Letikenny, myself, Valerie Taylor, and Jenny Quinn. So we've got 9 students over there now the year, and anybody's interested in learning, they can get all the details of the ETB, and we're starting another course next year. So Anne played a big part in that as well.
In terms of your own role in that, John, do you get the importance or see the importance of you passing on your expertise and your skills to another generation? And when I say generation, I don't necessarily mean that in age terms, because I presume some of your students could be of all different ages, but passing on your knowledge to a new group of people, is that important to you?
Oh, very important, yeah. Yeah. You see, the thing about it is we have a lot of weavers now in different counties in Ireland, like, and if they start doing workshops or learning people, you know, they're spreading it, it's going to grow. So, up here in Inishowen, there's some sort of a drug to use that I don't know anything about. But you might be kent, you don't want to go home.
Right. Okay.
So
you don't want to let the good ones pass Bridge End, you see, so they keep you locked in.
It's amazing, the talent that Anne and Claire Hark and these folk have up here. You know, it's just unbelievable.
You describe a time when you started where, you know, in Ardra and many different places around the country, there were lots of people working in it, to the point whereby you could go, you could work in one area, move to another and do the same work for a different company and so on and so forth. When things sort of die out, it seems to happen slowly and then very quickly. Can you put your finger on what was happening or why so many people stopped weaving, or how, you know, employment went to single figures? What happened, or can you put your finger on what changed?
Really, I think the power loom took over big time, you know, and I don't know. Like, I have two sons, they're not interested in it, and I think myself, the patience, you need some patience and you need a lot, you know, the young folks. But thankfully, the ETB did bring them in. But it was almost gone in Adral, you know, with them, and it was almost
I just sometimes think, is it a little bit like the trains, that we don't know what we had until it was gone, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to pinpoint what goes wrong, but it just sometimes, you know, it would be great if we could go back and make certain decisions again. Also, too, you know, you could have worked every hour in the day, I presume, back in the day.
Oh,
you
yeah.
could do it now, of course, still, but you know what I mean? You could have worked every hour in the day, I presume, with so many, such demand on your finished product.
Oh, yeah. Way back years ago, I could be working 60 hours a week, no problem. It's just, if you like with a loom, you know, you get hooked. Other people really done it just to make a living, to try and make a few pounds, you know, and they didn't really like what they're doing. But if you get into it and you're just caught up with like a drug, you can't get away from them.
Yeah,
you know?
I get you.
Yeah.
How many parts of your body are moving as you're working the loom?
Oh.
I mean, the legs are going 10 to the dozen. I mean, how difficult is there a sequence? You know what I mean? How difficult is what you're doing?
Well, it's all about timing, getting your timing right, get a rhythm. A lot depends on who's learning you, really. You know? So, When I was in Ardra and the Martins, and there were 3,600 movers there, you watched out, everybody had a different technique.
Really,
you know,
okay.
And you really checked out, you know, and watched out who you thought was, it came handy to. And that's the way I learned it anyway, and I hope to learn that to several more people as well, like, you know.
Mm. Yeah. You really enjoy the teaching, don't you?
Yes, I like it, yeah.
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 And we had Martin Harley, of course, the former Cahirlock, on paying tribute to you a couple of days ago as well, with the work that you do with the ETB, because I don't know, and I will speak to Anne a little bit more about this too. There seems to be, or maybe I'm just hearing more about it, but we seem to be riding a little bit of a wave in terms of, you know, the national exposure, the popularity of the garments that are being produced at such a high standard.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, it's still probably a little niche, but there does seem to be, particularly I'm come across, I feel like there's a resurgence at the moment. Is that an impression you get?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I want to thank Martin Harley as well, because when Martin was over with us in Fife there last year, over doing a demonstration over there for a couple of days, a demo for DTB and that. And we met people that came down from the islands to see us, and, you know, the amount of people we've met and got to know this last few years is unbelievable.
Mm.
And it's... Anne played a big part in all this. You know, she tells you she didn't, but she did, you know, so...
She's shaking her head, but
I think.
It's nice that someone gets the credit too, because it's very important.
Yeah.
It's very important that they do. John, it's been fascinating speaking to you. You're doing a demonstration today and tomorrow, are you? Or when is that, the 5th and 6th?
Well,
is that
today.
Today, okay.
And believe it or not, I'll be on Narnmore Island tomorrow.
What are you doing over there?
Same thing.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes.
Hopefully they've got... hopefully they've got the yoke over there. You don't have to take it with you.
Oh,
yeah?
It's over.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Do you take a pint of Guinness? No?
several of the
well,
games.
Well, now I'm starting to figure out what you're loving about this game. Five hard draw. Well, listen, enjoy, and have one for me, will you? Listen, thanks so much, John.
Okay.
It's a pleasure to speak to you, and it's because of your passion. Your passion is something else. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's John Hina, the Master Weaver. And we'll be speaking to Anne, who you mentioned there, who we heard mentioned there, and many other guests here as we broadcast live from the Glendone Craft Shop here. It's in Minta Glen, Clonmany. I just stuck... ask Google, and it brought me straight to the door here. And we're here to celebrate by Donegal. And just to mention, by the way, Glendone Craft Shop are hosting a weaving demonstration today between 10:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Today's the 5th, isn't it? And you can also get 20% off all Glendone garments. And as I say, as part of By Donegal, this is all about celebrating the all businesses in the county, but there's over 400 creative and innovative businesses, some service providers in there as well, taking part in this year's By Donegal. And it's a perfect opportunity for you to find and give someone a unique gift this Christmas. And there's a one-stop shop there. There's a really nice website, By Donegal. You can go to it, or donegal.ie, I think is how I went to it. I'll clarify that a little later on. But there are pages of businesses, and you click through. It's really very innovative and easy to use, and you click through. And as I say, there's all different types of products and services there. But the one thing they all have in common is they are local businesses, and you can support them. The glitz and the glamour. It's all going to be out on show at the Silver Tassie tonight for the Breast Cancer Ball. Mr. Michael Sugrue, surgeon at Edinburgh University Hospital, joins me. Good morning to you, Michael. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, it's a very exciting day. We're so much looking forward to celebrating with our community for the people who survived breast cancer, who want to really celebrate life, and all the community members. So great day. And yes, we're really looking forward to it.
And no weather warnings.
Yes. No. No, we'll have a few storms, but they'll be pleasant storms tonight.
Of course, they will indeed. And as I say, everyone's got their tickets now who can get tickets, because it is a sellout, which is fantastic. And it's a fantastic opportunity, as you mentioned, for the reasons you mentioned, but also to raise the conversation again and to raise money as well. And you've got fantastic guests. Obviously, Shay Given, we spoke to him on the show a couple of weeks ago. He can't wait to go. It's been on his radar for quite some time. And now you've also secured the attendance of the Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, which I think is very, very significant, because it means she really is buying into, hopefully, the health service in Donegal, but also all the efforts to try and get that development at Letterkenny University Hospital over the line.
Yes, Greg. First of all, Shay, it's such a fantastic honour to have Shay there. It'll warm our hearts. But coming to the Minister, what she's done, along with our local politicians, the team Donegal, selling Donegal, the Minister has made a lifeline for the hospital by the awarding of a surgical hub and expansion to the oncology service. She single-handedly has transformed, along with our local politicians and other people, the opportunity for us to move forward in Letterkenny University Hospital. Since this announcement last July, things have changed significantly, Greg. We've had, for example, we've had 8 applicants for the surgical consultant breast position. I mean, things have changed. There is a new vibrancy about
what might have been the level of interest in that position previously, Michael?
Very challenging.
Really?
And yes, very challenging for many of the positions in the hospital, Greg, because you're only too familiar with this scenario where we weren't in the mindset of the power brokers. And the Minister has actually changed that. And she's truly remarkable in that she's taken data, looked at our population, looked at our productivity in terms of our workload, and said, oh, we need to help this hospital. And the allocation of a surgical hub and oncology is the start of that. And her commitment to the development control plan, which is the greater campus. This is the first minister that really has had a handle on what's actually happening at a Mount 3 hospital like ours.
And in relation to that, and I don't wish to be negative at all, but of course the whole sell of the surgical hub was there's a system, there's a plan, it's relatively costed, you know what I mean, and the delivery can be really quite quick. But I do note that some of the developments, or all of the developments for Letterkenny University Hospital, are going out to tender, which my understanding is different to how surgical hubs are being delivered elsewhere in the country. Firstly, is that the case? And secondly, does that potentially leave us open to timeline slips?
Well, I think it's always good to monitor these things, Greg. And we had a very positive meeting just this morning at a national level among the key clinicians and the National Steering Group, which is led out by Eileen Rudden. And this was a very positive meeting. So in terms of that, we're keen to ensure that we keep an eye on this project as clinicians. It will take time, Greg, and they do go to tender. And we're I think it's fair to say we're a bit happier at the moment than we were, say, during the week. So we're watching the space. We want it for the people of Donegal, so that in 5 years' time, it'll be another arm in the Letterkenny University Hospital that will attract people. I mean, it's been a really busy year in the breast unit, Greg. I mean, our cancers are up, cancer patients are up 17% on last year. They're up 40% on 2016, 2017. So we've seen the largest number of new patients ever in the breast
unit. I must ask you, what might that be attributed to? It can't all be aging population. Is it awareness? Is it our conversations? Is it our push to get people to go to breast check, or try and highlight that people, you know, keep an eye for changes on their bodies? Or what might be driving such a dramatic change, Michael? If you frame it as dramatic yourself, of course, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, I have to be a little bit cautious. I mean, you always need the big picture, Greg, in terms of the national numbers. So it may be that Letterkenny University Hospital become more popular with symptomatic breast patients. So as you know, Greg, we're a bit different than the screening program. But so this is just symptomatic breast patients.
Understood.
But what happens is that we're realizing that cancer is increasing, and that's multifactorial. There are environmental factors, and then there are factors related to, BMI, weight. And I think that there's an increased awareness through, you know, programs like yours, the primary care doctors. So it is on the increase. And that is the expectation, according to the cancer registry, that it will increase year on year by about 10%. So in 2017, we had 85 patients with breast cancer. This year, we'll have about 125. So it's wonderful they can get this service locally.
Yeah.
And it's great that we can continue that. And with a new breast surgeon starting next February, that would be fantastic. And we'll be having a second breast surgeon start in the new year as well.
And I know we are very much in the now, and we have to be in present in a moment, but it feels for the first time in a long time that, thanks to people coming together as they did, not least, I think, led by the likes of you, we are in an upward tick, if you know what I mean. We are not going backwards. We're not in the doldrums. We are seeing light at the end of the tunnel in provable ways, you know, in notable ways, like a greater interest in people saying, well, maybe my long-term career can be there, which I presume is some of the motivating factor for an increase in applications in the recent jobs announcement. So I hope I'm not misframing it, but it does feel that we are heading towards a place that we needed to be.
Yes, and we need to get there, Greg. That's the important thing. So quality care right across the spectrum is so important to the people of Donegal. And, you know, with the breast service, we'll be talking a tiny bit about it tonight at the breast bowl. But we're very pleased with our program, the team effort. We can improve, Greg, of course. But in terms of the outcomes, we're very happy with our surgical performance compared to the national performance. And we'd like to continue that, Greg.
Have a wonderful night tonight, will you? Hopefully now that it's all done and dusted, you can truly, maybe once you've said a few words, truly relax. Best wishes, and I hope it's a wonderful night, and I have no doubt it will be, because there's fantastic music and fantastic guests as well. So,
and thank you, Greg, for your support during the year, and Caroline and the morning show, really highlighting the important issues for Donegal.
It's what we're here for. Thank you very much indeed. Right, Anne McGonigal of Glendown Craft Shop and Studio. Hi, Anne. How are you?
Very well, Greg. Thank you.
I just managed to get your head through that door now after Mr. Heena's comments on you. But look, listen, we're not always comfortable hearing nice things about ourselves. But, you know, it is lovely to know, I presume, and you know, that you've had such an instrumental part in you know, revitalizing this whole space in this beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, it's really, it's just, my heart is full whenever I think of what we do here. And what, and I have to give it to John, only for John had given us such encouragement and had the know-how to do it, to get our loom back together again and to be teaching other people now, as well as myself, how to weave.
This is a bigger project, though, than just a building, isn't it? Than just a, not just a, but the loom. There's something else going on here, isn't it? It's about the landscape. It's about history. It's about culture. It's about the future. There's a bigger picture here for you, I sense.
There is, yeah. Yeah, I was very lucky to grow up with my mother was a great craftswoman. And from a very young age, she was teaching me how to sew and crochet. And she was recycling long before we even knew what the word recycling meant. And she always encouraged us to make things and do things. So when I, about 30 years ago, I started working with Donegal Tweed and making garments, designing and making garments and selling at craft fairs. And I even market stalled anywhere I could sell from. So then 20 years ago, we built the shop here so that we had a premises to sell from. And originally I was just selling the garments that I made myself. But I found that people were asking, where can we get other local crafts, candles, pottery, anything else that's made locally. So I started sourcing good quality crafts. But I decided to make a point that I would only sell Irish-made products in the shop.
Yeah.
As much Donegal as I can, but then if I can't get it in Donegal, I would get it throughout Ireland. And it is difficult at some times because a lot of crafts and that are being outsourced now. But we're very lucky here in Donegal that we have so many great producers. We have Rosson Knitwear, Hannah Hats, Annie Shone Candles, Donegal Pens, Donegal Soap, Hannah Darns, Peninsula Pottery. There's so
has
many.
Has that network always been there, right, whereby you can name check other amazing companies and they will in different platforms? Or is that relatively new? Like, I'm just thinking maybe back 30 years ago, were you plowing a lonely furrow or whatever the phrase is? Or, like, is this sort of networking, counter-promotion, et cetera, relatively new, or has that always been the case, Anne?
No, it has always been the case. As far as I'm concerned, it has always been the case. The Enterprise Board, like, 30 years ago, they had a crafts facilitator, and he helped me big time that time to go to different big, larger craft fairs. They supported us to go to Gifted and places that you would never, when you're starting out, you would never have been able to go to. And still, now there is a lot of craft networks, and there are other craft workers that I can reach out to, or they can reach out to me if there's anything that we can do for each other.
I'm sure you've got an excellent local trade and visiting trade, but I'm just curious as to the tourist trade, right? Because I presume this has become a destination now, because, you know, when I visit some place, and this is the point I've tried to make on the radio a few times, I want to feel part of it, or I want to bring part of it back with me. I want to understand it. I want to feel like I'm almost from there, right? So you can bring tourists in here. They can literally see the material, how it's made, the raw materials, and then they can see it, you know, in the shop. How attractive has that become to the tourists? I presume they have to be beaten a path to your door in the summer, and if not, the summer of the shoulders.
Yeah, no, and I do see that the season has got longer from March to probably the beginning of November. There's still been a lot of tourists arriving. They're from the States, from Canada, from
Letterkenny.
Letterkenny, yeah. So throughout the summer, the tourist season is amazing. We also have a Falshire Ireland approved visitor information point in the shop.
Brilliant, okay.
So we can recommend other local businesses to go and visit. Like you ask them, have you plans for the afternoon? And what would you recommend we do? What beaches to go to? So because I've lived locally here all my life, I kind of know anyway. Best places to go and to recommend them.
We can never take it for granted, but it seems very likely now, as Donegal Tweed is being used as an example, that we could see Donegal Tweed, you know, a protected item, the same as champagne is the obvious example, but there are many, many others. That's really significant, isn't it? Not necessarily that the product itself is being knocked off, but the fact that the name is not being misappropriated, that we have a very unique product that hopefully now will end up being protected, as someone who loves it as clearly as much as you do. That's really significant, isn't it?
Oh, that's massive. It's great altogether. It's when you look at the weaving and from start to finish, from how the tweed is made and the amount of work that goes into it, and then the high quality product that you have at the end, it's just a shame that some people can copycat it and say that it's Donegal tweed and it's not actually made in Donegal or maybe even Ireland. So it's going to be a great boost for Donegal and for Donegal tweed.
Yeah. How significant do you think this Buy Donegal campaign is? Because as we've been mentioning, businesses from all across Donegal are being encouraged and have taken up the encouragement to participate in the campaign. We, as the people of Donegal, both at home and abroad too, let's not forget a lot of this stuff is available online, are being encouraged to support local businesses. And you can do that actually as well, not by just going in through the doors, but maybe you bought something from them this year. Throw a picture up on Instagram, use the hashtag #BuyDonegal. That all helps, you know, and spread the message, not just internally, but externally as well. Because, as I say, you know, there's a lot of great businesses now have great online premises. So is that how the public can contribute? But how important do you think it is for us all to sort of get behind the likes of this initiative, Anne?
Oh, well, it's a 1-1 for everybody, because if Donegal people support Donegal businesses, the money's been moved around within Donegal, the people are getting to high-quality goods, that there's a lot of the products that I know of that are made in Donegal, there's no air miles, there's no... It's just moving from one part of the county to the other. And as I'm totally involved in crafts, that's what I mean by that, by make if the product's been made in Donegal, bought in Donegal, and worn or used in Donegal, sure, what's not to... It's a 1-1.
Yeah, and as well, too, what we should never forget, you're not... I mean, I'm not saying this sounds terrible, but it's not that necessarily you're doing someone a favour here. We're actually also talking about very high-quality products.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about sustainable fashion here. You could come in here now and buy a jacket, and if you give it any attention at all, you can, and if you don't put on too much weight or lose too much weight, that jacket will be there in 20 years time and will look as fresh as the day you bought it.
Yes, and I have proof of that.
Yeah.
I've had customers who came back after having a jacket maybe for 15 years and they lost weight and they wanted their jacket taken in, and they felt like they were going out the door with a brand new jacket, and it was 15 years old.
Yeah,
we also have a perfect example in the weaving shed of a coat that was given to us to put on display, and it's Donegal, hand-woven Donegal tweed coat, and it's 90 years old, and it still looks perfect.
Mm. My dad was a master tailor.
Was he?
He was. Yeah, he worked with Hannah Hatz and used a lot of McGee's.
Yeah.
Donegal tweed and all that kind of stuff, and the stuff of his that's still... In fact, yeah. He used to make... This is how things have changed. The guards walking around now in polo shirts. He used to make to measure the Garda uniforms.
Oh, right.
They'd actually come for fittings.
Yeah.
You know, so there's very little illegal stuff going in our house because there's always a guard knocking about the place. Listen, Anne, thanks so much for hosting us. Continued success. What is this room we have here ordinarily used for, right? The weaving room makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got to my left or to the right as you approach, you've got your craft shop or however, yeah, craft shops.
Yeah.
So what do you use this space for? It's a brilliant space. I presume it's quite flexible, is it?
It's very flexible, yeah. Just at the weekend there, we had a little traditional music session for a family.
Where's the bar? The, oh, families. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no. No bar, unfortunately. No, it's just our...
It's just a really nice, homely space. It kind of, too, feels like a big front room.
It does, yeah. Yeah, there is a group of musicians that meet here just among themselves on a Thursday night, usually.
Lovely.
Along with my son, who plays the fiddle. So, yeah, it's just here for... We're hoping to use it for learning, really. We would like to be able to have teach people anything that we could teach or bring in people who could teach.
It's a real cultural hub, or I don't know how you'd phrase it, but it's lovely what you have going on here, Anne. And it's clearly something that you're very passionate about. You work hard, but they say, I suppose, you know, if you love your work, you never work a day in your life. And
that's
I get the feeling that's the type of you. Thanks so much for having us and chatting to us. We might chat to you before the end of the show yet. We've got a lot to get through. But thank you so much indeed. We've had... marmalade on toast, which was delicious, but fresh bakes here and tea and coffee. It's lovely. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I can see why John's hanging about. Welcome back to the programme, and we're speaking to more people involved in business in Donegal, the communities in Donegal. Sean McGonigal of Alpaca Way joins us. How are you getting on?
Hi, how are you, Greg?
What in God's name is an alpaca? It's like a sheep with a long head, a neck.
You know, I still don't know about it this
what
long.
What is it?
It's part of the camelid family. So
What's that?
It'd be cousins with a camel, but he wouldn't know them that well.
But they don't have the hump.
No, they don't have the hump.
All right. And why do they thrive so well here?
Well, you wouldn't like to say Donegal similar to Peru, but Donegal, we're in the milder what Peru is. So Peru is extreme heat and extreme cold. So when the alpacas are here, they're not getting the extreme heat or the extreme cold. They're in a nice neutral, so...
And what is it about their nature, right? Because there are a million animals, you know, but there's something about the alpaca that makes them, I don't know, special. What is it?
The thing about the alpaca is that they're nearly like a dog in the way they know how to work with you, and they'll know you, and they'll know. They're very much, when we're doing the walks now, when we're doing the treks, you'll always see the fellas, the very friendly fellas will just walk straight into the pen because they have no bother getting attention off people. Mm. You'll see some of the fairly unfriendly fellas, they'll be sitting down at the gate grumping, but it's...
Are they social creatures like us? Is that part of it, yeah?
They're very social creatures. All our boys have met 30 or 40,000 people. Like, yeah. So.
Do they like attention?
Yeah. Like, when they're on their helters... Either give them
I just get the feeling alpacas, if they could work a mobile phone, would never be off Instagram.
I think they are off Instagram already. You know?
Okay. And but why do people like to walk with them? Is it, maybe that's part of the mystery. I don't know.
It's our alpaca. There's plenty of alpaca walking all over the world, but our one really works because of the view. You know, there's no view like Knockamany Bends in the whole of Donegal. I would go and say the whole of Ireland.
Yeah,
but it's. I was told a few weeks ago it's the header for nearly every council website in Donegal. That's just the view it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's walking with them, it's very different in the way. It wouldn't be like walking your dog. It's because an alpaca generally goes at your pace. So sometimes you wouldn't even think they're there. And then what makes the walk very special is the photos. Like they're, as I said, they met 30,000 or 40,000 people now. They're to the point where they're stopping to get the photos, like, well, this is a good spot, and this is a good spot, and they'll pull themselves.
You've close on 40 of them. They're a herd animal, are they?
Yeah.
And is there a social structure amongst alpacas?
Yeah, there's definitely a leader, and there's definitely, like, if we bring in a new alpaca, they actually bully the new alpaca for a few weeks.
Yeah.
It's the pecking order, really, but there's definitely a social structure to them now. Like, you would even know that... like, we've one alpaca, Bamba, and he would always be at the front of the walk, and he would never be caught at the back of the walk. That's just the way they are.
Yeah. And in terms of I know lots of people that have gone to your place, right? So there's a strong, what is the sort of breakdown? Is it a big tourist attraction? Because obviously the scenery is there, right? And it is kind of unique, this opportunity to walk with this really striking animal as well. Mm. But there's plenty of Irish business there as well. It's not just tourism.
Oh, yeah. We would like to think that at least 30 to 40% of our customers are from Derry. Mm. It's like, my dad always says when he first started, it was all Northern Regis, and it's stayed that way. It's definitely Donegal and Northern Ayrshire and wouldn't do very well in tourism without Derry and obviously the whole north of Ireland.
Yeah, and there's 37, do you have names on them all?
Oh, yeah.
And you can recognise them all?
Well, I can.
You can.
I can. I look crazy up there.
About that.
I can.
Yeah,
I
can call them anything and no one will be none the wiser.
I took that very thick. if someone tells me, no, you're making that up, I'm thinking,
hold on a second.
I've been up here 5 years and I'll have to look at these every day. I can tell you I'm not making them up.
And I think it's really interesting when we're talking about the variety of businesses and offerings. And I've tried to make this point about services and what have you. Like, you know, yours is a really successful Donegal business, bringing people into the county, spending in the business, of course. But then there's other spending that happens around that. You know, on a day like this, I think, and it's not just a day, of course, it runs through December. You know, a fantastic present for someone, for an example, you know, an opportunity to go and have your experience.
Yeah, even we launched a range of alpaca wool products just in about May there. And even those have been going very well now over Christmas. And
you know, like socks, gloves, hats?
Even just the balls of wool have been selling quite well. Yeah. And we're doing a Christmas box at the moment, which has also been selling quite well.
Brilliant. And what, in terms of their wool, what qualities does it bring particularly? Or?
So it's our wool, the wild alpaca wool that we sell, it's 50% blue-faced Leicester and it's 50% alpaca. Because generally, when people are knitting hats and socks with stuff and stuff like that, alpaca is a very loose wool and it's not great for. It would be great for a blanket or anything loosely knit. It's good for that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It needs a mix with something else to keep it tight.
For a sock.
Sock.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Helen Nolan is CEO of Spriaga Sport 2, co-founder and CEO of a multi-award winning social enterprise. And it's been a remarkable year in terms of the recognition. I love it. It's great when you see great people getting the recognition they deserve. And it's been a really busy time in that regard.
Yeah, listen, we've had a great year. We're celebrating our first year in the garden centre now on Thursday. So that's been a really busy time getting to know that business over the last year. But look, at Spree as a whole, an award-winning social enterprise. And, you know, some people maybe don't know what a social enterprise is.
Well, just run through that.
Yeah, no, that would be great, Greg, if I could. So really that's, we put people and planet, I guess, before profit. And everything, every euro that is spent with Spriaga Sport then is reinvested in our community in terms of, you know, supporting our disability services, our, you know, services for children and young people and all our youth programs and obviously jobs as well. We have a team of 100 people. So it's great. And we're making lots of impact in Carndonagh. And yeah, we're delighted to be joining you this morning.
On a personal level, you've worked in other corporations, other companies, right? Now, I'm not saying they have bad ethos, don't get me wrong, right? But how nice was it for you personally to sort of get home and get involved in a big organization, but maybe align maybe more to how you want to do things?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. I did a degree in accounting and finance and was worked in a lot of large organisations as an accountant for many years before returning to my hometown of Cairn. And I fell into this really, to be honest with you. You know, lots of people know our story, attending the parent and toddler group. And, you know, we wanted it to be on more days and to have our own home. So I was one of the drivers in that, but absolutely delighted to be playing a role now in terms of community impact. It's really rewarding, in a way that, doing year end accounts can never be. And it's great to see the impact that we've made, not just in Carndonagh, but across the community as well.
Many people may not be aware either of the scale of what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's because of your background, being able to attract, you know, massive amounts of money in that has been able to provide so many services, given the ethos of the organisation that you outlined a little earlier on. Like, it's we're on a really big scale here.
No, we are. Look, we're one of the national leading social enterprises in the country, you know, really highly regarded by the likes of the Department of Rural and Community Development, by the likes of Pubble, Rethink Ireland, Community Foundation of Ireland, the Ireland Funds, all the major players in this space. They hold us in high regard. We've really great governance. We work hard at that, and we make sure that everything that we deliver is the best that it can be. And we've just been really good at responding to our community's needs. So, like, every year and multiple times a year, we're always asking our service users, what's the need now? How can we do things differently?
And you bend and adapt and accommodate what's required.
Yeah.
And we've seen that recently with our visit to Cairn Dunna. You know what I mean? You've that ability. You're also chair of the Initial Development Partnership, another important role. What are the key priorities for you in that role?
Yeah, so I'm not chair now anymore, Greg. Sorry, my thing's out of date, so apologies for that. I was up until about a couple of months ago, and Francis Burns and
Macron
have taken that role.
If people kept giving you bad information, how would you deal with that in the work environment?
I would just smile and keep going. Yes, absolutely.
I'm only joking. Right, but you wrapped up that role. What is the key role for that partnership as a whole, I suppose?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Like, what a lot of us are doing, and even, you know, with the Wild to Pack Away and here in Kilmarnock, it's about trying to make Annishowen a really great place to live, to work in, and, you know, to bring our children up in. Like, that's the key. You know, we want an Annishowen Development Partnership is, you know, playing a leading role in that, in terms of doing that for the people here in Annishowen. This is a really great place, and we just want to have the same opportunities as people anywhere else. So, and that's kind of has been the driver with Spree all the years. So, you know, like, I could have stayed in Dublin and reared my family there, but I wanted to come back here. But at the same time, I always thought, I never want the girls to say to me, oh, if you'd have stayed in Dublin, we could have been doing, you know, lots of different things.
Yeah,
they've had way more opportunity.
But that's been a fantastic motivator for you.
Absolutely,
to do, because you understand, you have a clear understanding.
Yeah.
Brilliant,
so
stuff, Helen. It's always a pleasure to speak to anyone associated with Spearga Sport. I hold them and you guys in such high regard. Sean McGonagall, the Wild Alpaca Way. It's a great name too.
Yeah.
Right? You never had any hassle with that, no?
Well, you could guess why, but it's
just good marketing. You see, it is brilliant because it becomes associated. And listen, I always hear fantastic things about what you guys are doing as well. So thank you so much for calling down. And just if you could briefly run through the 37 names.
Oh, well.
No, I'm not going to do that to you. Listen, and I've no doubt you could, actually. Sean McGonagall of the Wild Alpaca Way, thank you so very much indeed. Helen Nolan, CEO of Spreeaga Sport, thank you so very much indeed. Darren Holden of the High Kings is with me now. Good morning, Darren. Thanks so much for joining us.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I am doing good. We're really going to test our marketing skills here now, because we're getting short on time. But listen, everyone knows the High Kings, Ireland's leading folk group, and you are out on tour again, the Rocky Road Tour 2026. How excited are you about this latest adventure?
We're really excited, actually, because we've had a phenomenal year. We've had 3 tours of the States, we've had a couple of tours of Ireland, but this tour is really, really exciting because we just released a brand new version of the Rocky Road to Dublin, and that was over the strength of the amount of people who tuned into the band after the Sinners movie when we had the song in that movie. So we decided to re-energize it, reinvent it, and it's just taken off, and the streaming numbers are through the roof. So we're really, really happy.
It is amazing, and I'm talking about a tour next year, and it seems an awful long way away, but hey,
I know.
It's only the 2nd of January that we have to wait until you turn up at the beautiful setting of the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny. The High Kings there, Friday the 2nd of January. I'm going to say it, Christmas presents. I mean, what a lovely gift, and fixing a problem for someone out there that doesn't want or doesn't know what to get the person they love in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fantastic Christmas present, and we always love playing the Mount Erigal, because the audiences are always phenomenal. It's always so loud, and it's a Christmas spirit, New Year spirit. So it's going to be a great, great night. All the hits and some of the new songs as well. It's just a party for 2 hours.
It must be lovely when you release new stuff and it resonates with your loyal fan groups and drags in new fans as well. And you see that, because nowadays you can see the impact straight away, can't you, in terms of numbers, yeah, location, etc. It must be lovely.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, after Rocky Road to Dublin, we released a brand new original song called 77A. We shot a video here in Dublin. It's after going crazy over the last couple of months. And people really love the song. We've had loads of our American fans and Australian fans coming visiting Ireland, and they're looking to get on the 77A and take pictures of it and stuff. So it's really cool that people are resonating with the band in so many different ways.
Brilliant. And you're coming to see us in Letterkenny in the Mount Erigal Hotel Friday the 2nd of January. Tickets available from ticketmaster.ie and the hotel reception. Looking forward to it, Darren. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Greg.
Look
All
after yourself.
You.
Bye-bye. Right, that's where we leave it for the show this week. Thank you very much for listening. And don't forget, hashtag buy Donegal. If you've bought something already, why not use that hashtag and spread the love? Right now, our Friday finalist for our brilliant competition with Cadbury. The caller wanted to nominate my son, Keelan Ward. He retired from intercounty football this week after an amazing 12 years representing his county. We're very proud of his commitment and dedication over the years from his mum, Colette. Colette, we're all proud of him too, and we thank him for his amazing, amazing service. The overall winner, though, is our Thursday winner, who is Bridie McFadden, Carna Gore, Cara Guards. Is Bridie on the line? Are you there? No, she's not. Bridie's not there. That's okay. Okay, I understand what happened there. The other winner, Bridie's daughter, isn't it? No, it's not. It's a friend, Clodagh Doherty from Devlin Rhee in Carrigart. She's waiting on an appointment for Crumlin Hospital for double surgery for scoliosis. So she's only 13, but she's a wonderful, wonderful person. Clodagh, we wish you the very best. You've won a €250 one for all voucher to spend, and also Bridie McFadden for nominating Clodagh. You've also won a €250 one for all voucher. Thank you to all of you who entered. You're all fantastic. We're back with you on Monday morning. Again, thanks to Anne, who hosted us here at the craft shop at Glendone. Thanks to Caroline and Shannon and Joe Dex, who kept us on air. We'll be back, as I say, on Monday. Stay tuned, though. John Breslin's Around the Northwest next.